Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, happy 4th of July. I hope you're having a great day. I hope you're having a great evening if you're on the East Coast. And I hope it's been a wonderful day for you. I hope it's been a day of celebration. I hope that you are able to have some time with people you love and really celebrate, because we have a lot to celebrate on the 4th of July every year. Not because current events are always pleasant, but because on the 4th of July, we're celebrating history. We're celebrating our independence from Great Britain. And I've got some wonderful, wonderful feelings toward Britain, but I sure am glad that we're not beholden to the British government. Why am I grateful on the 4th of July? For one thing, the unique history of this country. It's a day when we not only celebrate our independence from Great Britain, but we celebrate kind of our national identity, what it means to be an American. And we have a unique history, some amazing things that have happened, clear evidences of God's providence in sparing this country time and again when we could easily have been wiped out, even before we got started. You go back and you read the words of the Mayflower Compact, and you realize that our forebears, the ancestors that many of us claim, came here demonstrating not only tremendous courage, but tremendous faith. And they endured hardship. And they persevered. Even though many died, they hung in there. They worked at it. And they had confidence that God had brought them to this place for a reason. When you study the history of this country, you need to be impressed with the fact that we have been extraordinarily blessed. And I say extraordinarily because I know that God blesses other people in other parts of the world as well, and that other countries and their citizens also have reasons to give thanks to God and to celebrate His faithfulness to them and His mercy toward them. But I'm an American, and I'm glad to be a citizen of this country and blessed to live here. We have experienced, as a people, extraordinary prosperity. If you look not just at the current situation, but you look historically at the things we take for granted. One of my sons that we adopted when he was 16 years of age had started his life in grinding poverty in Montgomery, Alabama. And when he finished his studies here at Ware's Valley Ranch a semester early, his senior year, he said, "I want to spend that last semester of my senior year giving back. I'd like to go somewhere in Central America and work maybe in an orphanage or something where I could give back in thanks to God for what He's done for me." And so we made arrangements with people who were doing a great work in Nicaragua for him to go there and invest hard work in trying to help them build their campus where they serve orphans and impoverished children. And when he went down there, he was expecting that he would be able to relate with these children because he had started out in a situation of poverty and lost his mom to cancer at age 11, and she was a single parent, and he'd have a lot in common with these kids. He came back and he said, "You know, I loved the kids and I loved doing ministry down there, but nobody in America's poor." He said, "By American standards, I grew up very poor, sometimes sleeping in a car, sometimes sleeping in a condemned building where you could see the sky or get rained on because the roof was so bad." But he said, "Nothing like what I saw in Nicaragua. The poverty there makes it clear that the poor in America are not really poor by world standards. Now, I know there are people who are going to take issue with that, but I just refer you to my son. You can take it up with him. He grew up in the apartment across the hall from the apartment that Rosa Parks had lived in Montgomery. And I'm just telling you, his opinion is that by world standards, America doesn't have any poverty. We consider it now essential, absolutely essential, that we have things like air conditioning, satellite television, transportation to take us where we want to go, cell phones, for goodness sake, provided by the government. All these are necessities in the minds of modern Americans. I live in a part of East Tennessee where there are still a lot of people who did not have indoor plumbing when they were growing up. That was just the norm. They weren't the exception. They weren't the poor people. They were just the people. I know friends my age whose parents were adults before they got electricity. When TVA came along and brought electricity into the remote parts of the mountains. Let me tell you something, folks. We take a lot of stuff for granted. We feel entitled. And it's not just a racial thing. It is an American thing. The reason that we feel that way is because the blessings on our land have been so enormous, so extraordinary, so unprecedented in world history that we think we ought to be able to get what we want from the grocery store at any time of year. We don't think that we ought to just eat what's growing in season in our area, like the farm-to-table movement is promoting. Instead, we think that when it's not in season where we live, it ought to be brought in fresh from another hemisphere. It ought to be brought in fresh from below the equator. They're having the reverse of our systems, the mirror image of our seasons. So let's bring in that, and let's make sure that I get my favorite foods year-round. I always ought to have clementines on my table. I mean, it's only right that what I like should always be available to me. Where did we get this? It's because we've been blessed beyond measure. We've been blessed so much that we don't even recognize it as blessings anymore. But folks, we have been blessed, and I am thankful, and we are a prosperous people, and I am thankful. And furthermore, we have unprecedented freedoms, historically speaking. One of the things that has made the United States a magnet for people from other parts of the world is the tremendous freedom that we have in this country. And that freedom, I will remind you, was hard fought and hard won. It was costly to establish those freedoms. But those who did so because they believed that these freedoms come from God. That it is God who ordained our freedom. And therefore, they were willing to put their lives on the line, trusting that God would vindicate their cause. I am grateful for that. I'm very grateful for that. Go back and read the Declaration of Independence, which I had to memorize at age 13. Go back and read it and see what our forefathers said. And if you say, well, those aren't my forefathers, that's not my ancestry, I came here from another ethnicity 100 years later or more, my ancestors did, in other words, then I would urge you to consider whether this country has adopted you and whether you've adopted this country. Because if you are an American, those are your ancestors. Those are your forebears. Maybe not genetically, but that's where our country came from. So again, I tell you, read the Declaration of Independence. See what it says and recognize that those are our roots as a nation. You need to know it. You need to know why there was a conflict between what we call the Patriots, back then they were the rebels, and those who were the loyalists, loyal to the British crown. July 4th, 1776, when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. And so how does it start? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Folks, that's the foundation you're standing on. You may not appreciate it, you may not laud it, but you're standing on it, and you need to appreciate it. And those who think that somehow, if you appeal to God in this culture, you're violating the separation of church and state, they need to go back and study history again. They need to read the Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights, and they need to read what Jefferson himself wrote in the Declaration of Independence before our revolution was successful. He said, "We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America, in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved." He goes on to say, "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Now, folks, that is what July 4th is all about. So, I celebrate and am grateful for the extraordinary freedoms that we enjoy here. I'm also very grateful for the tremendous force of humanitarian good that this country has become. The fact that for a long, long time, Americans have given generously and done wonderful things, building hospitals and providing food and doing what we can to help our neighbors all over the world. We are certainly not the only ones to do so. There are some Scandinavian countries that have done a tremendous job with this. There are other people in other parts of the world who've done a tremendous job. But with the blessings we've received and the prosperity that we've received, there's also been a tremendous amount of humanitarian aid, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that our military might has been little used for world domination, but used often to liberate and protect the weak. I'm grateful for that, even though I recognize that some of what we have done in the name of helping others has been to a great extent to help ourselves, to promote the interests of American business, to try and provide jobs for American people, to try and provide a marketplace for our goods, including weapons that we use, sometimes to encourage violence so that we can profit from it. That's corruption. That's wrong. But that's not the main thing we've done. There have been times, especially after World War II, where the United States could easily have used its atomic weapons in order to try and subjugate the whole world. And we didn't. we could have insisted that we were the dominant ruler, and we didn't. Instead, we went back and helped rebuild the countries that had been devastated by war, including those that we'd fought against, and we helped them become loyal allies who appreciated the fact that America wasn't there to control them or to humiliate them, but rather to help them, because we wanted to be friends, not enemies. We've been a friend to Israel. And I believe biblically that that is a very important reason why God has raised this country up and blessed America as he has. And I pray that we will continue to be a friend to Israel, because I believe God has special plans for that nation. I know there are evangelical teachers and preachers on the radio who have a very different view of the end times and a very different view of Israel, but I just have to call them as I see them. And when I read my Bible, I see that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But God has a special plan for Israel. And when the time of the Gentiles is over, there's going to be a tremendous harvest among the Jews. They'll have to come to faith in Jesus Christ in order to be saved, just like Gentiles have to come to faith in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. But all who are truly Israel, all who are true sons of Abraham, not something ethnic, but those who share the faith of Abraham, that is the true Israel, and they will all be saved. So I'm grateful that the United States has been a friend to Israel. And I'm grateful that the United States has been a hospitable environment for missions and evangelism. So many missions organizations, so many missionaries going out from this land. It has been the scene historically of tremendous revivals and great awakenings. God has done tremendous things in this land, and I am thankful. I want to wish a happy 4th of July. But I can't just brag. I can't just say how great it is. That wouldn't be balanced or biblical. So what are some of the things that have been heartbreaks? Well, it's always been a mixed bag. Even Jefferson, whom I quoted approvingly, was himself a very flawed man. Tremendous positives, tremendous flaws. Clearly, unless he repented and came to faith in Jesus at the end of his life, he is not one who will see in heaven, because he rejected the authority of Scripture. He rejected the work of Jesus Christ as his only hope for salvation. And yet, he believed that it was important for other people, like our military and our students, to have the Bible. It's always been a mixed bag. The treatment of Native Americans, tragic. Often lied to, treaties broken, horrible mistreatment, this unintentional damage done by the spread of disease. But don't forget, the Native Americans were also a mixed bag. It's not as if they were godly people all living here in peace and loving one another. They were violent. There was bloodshed long before we showed up on these shores. That doesn't justify lying to them or mistreating them, but it does help set in context the fact that the white men who came here and the Native Americans who were already here all needed a Savior. And Jesus is the only hope for any of us. The history of racism in this country, the issue of slavery and the civil rights struggles after the war between the states, tragic, tragic pages in American history. And I know what it is to have my life threatened because of standing against racism. But folks, as I celebrate the 4th of July, I thank God. I am grateful to be an American. I am grateful to be blessed with the privilege of living in this very pleasant part of the world, a place where, relatively speaking, we have tremendous blessing, tremendous health care, tremendous opportunity, as I said earlier, tremendous freedom. But I celebrate being an American, knowing that ultimately my citizenship is elsewhere. I am a pilgrim and an alien here. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 14 and following, we read, "People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they'd left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." And then in chapter 13, verse 14, we read, "For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come." In 2 Peter chapter 3, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, it says, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." In the words of the Apostle Paul, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." If you really want to have a great 4th of July, you need to know the King. He's not the King of England alone. He is the King of the world. He is the King of the universe. One day, every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Are you ready to meet him? Are you trusting in him as your Lord and Savior? If you're not, then you don't even know the one to whom you owe thanks for the blessings of living in this land. I hope that this 4th of July, you'll make sure that you know Jesus, that you are trusting in him, and that you are seeking to walk in obedience to him as your Lord and Master. May God bless you, and be sure and tune in tomorrow.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit WVR.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit WVR.org today.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.